WMFO Medford, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Voicemobile here at Tufts University. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. So, let's see, we're going to stop that. Yes. All right. How's everybody doing out there? It's beautiful, beautiful day. Not too humid, just, you know, it's warm, but not hot, not super hot, and we're going to enjoy it. Yeah, it's a good thing. I did a couple of fun things that I want to share with you, and some of you may have done this or can do it yourself. I went out to a place called Garden in the Woods. It's out in Framingham. It's a native plant trust, and it's just wonderful. I'll read a little bit about it for you. It's a 45-acre property. And it's made from glacier-made ridges, steep-sided valleys with a pond, bog, and meandering stream. It's got gardens that celebrate the color and texture of native plants throughout the seasons. And the nation's first plant conservation organization, and the only one focused solely on New England's native plants. We save native plants in the wild, grow them for garden and restorations, and educate others on their value and use. So I want to see where it tells how this whole thing got started. Founder Will Curtis made it his life's work to paint a peaceful picture here using wild plants he learned how to grow, in part so that florists would stop destroying nature by stripping out the most beautiful plants. He lovingly tended this garden for 34 years before giving it to us in 1965 as his contribution to conservation. There's a very nice gift shop there, and they give you you can just get a map. There's an entry fee, a little bit less for seniors or students, and then they give you a map. And we walked down the steep incline. We didn't realize at the time, but we walked down to the lily pond, and everything is, you know, marked. The trees are marked, and the different native plants. And it was really lovely. It's nice and cool because you're under the canopy of the trees. The entire loop around, if you do that, I think it can take an hour. A little slow meandering. We met some ladies who had done that. And there are several other trails that you can take that are about 10-minute loops. So it's a wonderful place, and I would highly recommend doing that. You know, they also give you a list of invasive plants, which is fascinating, and what native alternatives there would be. Some of them, Norway maple, which can be replaced by red maple. There's also the invasive border privet, and that can be replaced with inkberry holly. There's quite a few others. But what happens with these is that they grow and overtake the native plants. And so things you can do is you can pull and dig the ones that are woody ones with less than a 1-inch diameter. You can use also a weed wrench for stems that are up to 3 inches in diameter. Then that pulls out the plant roots and suckers. You can cut or mow to keep plants from going to seed, being careful to bag and properly dispose of all plant parts to avoid spreading the problem. You can also cover and smother invasive plants with cardboard, weed barriers, or black plastic. This method creates less soil disturbance than pulling or digging. You dispose of invasives properly. Put cuttings in a black plastic trash bag, good use for them, and let sit in the sun for 4 to 6 weeks before disposal. Never put cuttings, root fragments, or seed materials or of invasives into your compost or your town's compost pile. Please do leave chemical treatments to certified professionals and use only as a last resort, as the chemicals are ecologically troublesome and potentially harmful to humans. So it says here that Individual actions can prevent the spread of invasive plant species and enhance the health of our landscapes. Invasive species cause significant environmental and economic harm. Of the 235 woody plants known to invade natural areas in the United States, 85% were introduced primarily for ornamental and landscape purposes, while another 14% were introduced for agricultural uses. They, after 3 million, I think we've got a misprint here, then after 3 million acres of habitat, well, they alter. It'd probably help if I put my glasses on. I think I'll do that. It says they alter 3 million acres of habitat. That's a lot, 3 million acres annually, and cost $36 billion a year to control and eradicate. This is why many states in New England have enacted legislation to ban the sale, propagation, and distribution of known invasive species, and also monitor new species on the landscape for positive threats. In recent years, some growers and nurseries have tried to satisfy customers who like plants they can no longer easily obtain by developing sterile cultivars of invasive species. This creates confusion for the public, land managers, and state agencies, and also adds plants to the landscape that have little wildlife value. So that's not a good way to go. For your garden, you can choose from among the many species native to New England that perform well in designed spaces, that's what we want, are adapted to conditions and have tremendous wildlife value. Using native species helps connect your garden with a larger landscape and helps heal the damaging effects of invasive species. Now, they had a lot of plants for sale. I didn't know what to get because I'm in a new situation and I wasn't sure what my new landlords would like, because they have a lot of plants already in their yard. But I think if I ever go out there again, I will take a look and see. They also offer free tours, guided tours on the property. So it's a wonderful place. Garden in the Woods. Now let's see if they give me... they have nativeplanttrust.org. That's their website. They're open daily from 10 to 5, mid-April to October 15th. The address is 180 Hemingway Road in Framingham, 01701. A great day trip. The other thing that I want to share with you is something along Brattle Street, which I've been, you know, going by, and I saw these beautiful blue, cobalt blue bottles that were looked like trees. They were sort of stuck in the front yard, and it's an installation that's going to be up till October 3rd at 159 Brattle Street, Forgotten Souls of Tory Row, remembering the enslaved people of Brattle Street. So, history. Cambridge acknowledges that their headquarters are on land which has been the traditional ancestral homeland of the Massachusetts people. Black Coral Incorporated is a nonprofit collaborative of artists and business people who are concerned about uncovering the lost knowledge of our ancestors and using that knowledge to heal and solve the problems of the modern age. And they list the founders as J. Linda Blake, Pam Gonkovs, Michael Theory, who is the lead installation artist, Gail Boss. And there was funding for the Mass Cultural Council, Cambridge. Very, very interesting. You could go to historycambridge.org. Fabulous. All right. So, having shared with you all of that wonderful stuff, let's get started with... thanks to my dear colleague, Bob, who came and helped me rescue my CD, which I had kind of ruined. But this is the Idan Rachel project here on the voicemobile. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. b'meshkachich Yerushalayim hayti shkach yemini tidbak l'shoy Yerushalayim.
יצא ולך לשמורך בכל דרכך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם
kol kadesh vini roi la kol shayme shabbas kadesh kadat mechalelai sorei harbe miyoi al pivona tesh al magne
we
All right, that was Neshama Karlbach that we just heard. Oh, no wonder I've got my headphones off. And now I've got this too high. Okay. So, yeah, that was from her CD called Dancing with My Soul, and the song is Soulmate. Before that, her dad, my Rebbe, Shlomo Karlbach, from Shabbos in Shemayim, on a Derek recording, Kol Mekadesh Shivum. Before that, Glenn Dixon. This is a new CD from Glenn Dixon, who has been, this is called Wider Than the Sky. He used to be with Naftuli's Dream and Shirim on John Zorn's Sadik label. This is his first solo album, and it's released on July 8th, which is today July 8th? The 4th? Well, I guess it's just kind of almost. I don't know what day is today. I guess I can look on my phone and see. What does it say? It doesn't tell me. Well, I know that the 4th was Monday, so this is Tuesday, Wednesday, 5th, 6th. So I guess it's the 6th. What did I write down? So that this is, you're hearing it before it's even officially released. we're going to listen to, or we listen to Gentle Touch. It's a serene counterpoint underlying a seemingly endless melody. It was very lovely, actually. I liked it very much. We'll probably hear more from this, if not today, then other times. Thanks to the folks at Braithwaite and Katz for sending that to me. I also heard a fabulous concert that was part of the Boston Festival of New Jewish Music. And thanks to Nat from Ezekiel's Wheels, he put me on the list for that. Anthony Mordechai Tzvi Russell was the featured performer. I don't have the name of his group, but oh my gosh, this man, he's from African American descent, and he has mastered the whole Yiddish accent and understanding the music. He has a beautiful, I think, baritone voice, and it was a very haunting concert, very beautiful. So I don't have any of their music, unfortunately, but hopefully I will be getting some. So we'll look forward to hearing that. So I want to share with you something from Israel 21st Century. This is a great website to understand all the new innovations coming out of Israel. New technology can heat and cool your house using nothing but air. Wouldn't that be nice? With energy prices rising rapidly, a new startup could have the answer. Technology that harnesses energy from fluctuations in humidity to cool and heat buildings at half the current price. Now that's worth hearing about. This is an article by Brian Blum, and that came out. Okay, so let's see if I can pull up the actual article here. Yeah, it came out July 6th, so I guess today is July 6th. Imagine if you could heat or cool your home just by plucking the desired comfort level out of the air, literally. Israeli startup ThermoTerra is turning that vision into a novel renewable energy system that harvests energy from fluctuations in humidity. That's really fascinating. Water vapor in the air that's absorbed onto or into an absorbable material transfers a significant amount of energy, explains ThermoTerra founder and CEO Dror Zahori. We know this intuitively. When water evaporates, it causes a cooling effect. Think about the human body. When we're hot, we produce sweat, which, when it evaporates, keeps us from overheating. When water vapor is absorbed or condenses on a material, the opposite occurs. It generates heat. On a hot day, ThermoTerra's technology brings ambient warm and dry air into a home or office. It is stored inside the insulation of the building's walls, hempcrete, silica gel, or wood wool insulation. They absorb humidity especially well, as Cora says. When the air subsequently evaporates, it absorbs energy and cools the building. When temperatures are cooler, cold and humid air is brought in. As it's absorbed, it warms the air, heating the office or home. It's a natural phenomenon, as Ahori says. The Thermothera system is controlled by sensors embedded in the walls. Smart algorithms monitor when to bring in hot or cold air and when to release it. The algorithms learn owner preferences and automatically adjust the temperature accordingly. They can also tap into external weather forecasts. That's just fabulous. If it's very hot now, but the system knows that in a week it will be cold, it can store water in advance, Ahori says. The need for new technologies like Thermothera is indisputable. Some 40% of the world's building energy is spent on heating and cooling, and buildings represent 30% of the world's energy usage. So three components. To work its magic, Thermothera requires integrating a structure of ducts and conduits into a new wall. In existing buildings, a new facade with built-in insulation and ducts can be added to the wall. So that's very good to know. This may take a few inches, but the environmental impact and financial savings are significant. Corey estimates that incorporating Thermothera's technology into a building's construction can reduce heating and cooling costs by half and even to zero in some cases. This is just brilliant. A smart fan inserted into the wall, controlled by the algorithms, moves the hot or cold air around as required. This is the only part of the system that requires electricity. Wow. He goes into a lot more detail, but just wonderful. They're coming up with just brilliant things to, to help us live better. So, interesting. All right, well, we'll continue on with something from a compilation CD, Dangerous Curves, The Art of the Guitar.
Thank you. sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. Care your own business all. And there'll be somebody there, you believe that?